Why? Here's why. Hello, world of the internet. My name is Simon Miller, and welcome to Why with Simon Miller, which stands to reason because my fingers become saying why. And my name is Simon Miller. If you've never listened to me this before, it's a rap. Let's explain it this way. Let's do it a nice, normal way. I do a pro wrestling podcast, Simon's Pro Wrestling Show, I should say. You can check that out now, and please do. If you haven't, I'd appreciate it. But I wanted another avenue where I could just talk about anything, and so I made a podcast called Why with Simon Miller, where we talk about why and stuff like that. It's all supported by patreon.com/SimonA316. If you're watching this live on YouTube, which you can do every Thursday, there's a link in the description. And if you get a couple of minutes, if you could check that out and even donate a dollar into the support fund, it helps me do more of this, especially because, as you'll see, we're going to evolve the process soon. And again, if you are live on YouTube, slam me a super chat with a little button down there below the chat and I will read out and answer any question you would like. If it's morally offensive, I'll still address it, but otherwise you can say whatever the hell you want. Otherwise, we are on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Player FM, everything. And if you are listening to this on the app, give us a 5-star review. You can say whatever you want. You can say Miller's a bald idiot. The point is, the more 5-star reviews I get, the more visible the podcast becomes, and hopefully we can grow it. Also, give me a follow at SimonA316 on Twitter and Instagram, especially Instagram if you're only going to pick one. I'm trying to grow that. And yeah, if you're not on YouTube, or if you are on YouTube, give me a subscribe. YouTube.com/TheMirrorReportRules, or just search for Simon Miller and find my picture. YouTube channel's doing all right at the moment, and it's all down to subscriptions. So if you are, you know, hovering around my page right now, smash the subscribe button. Before we do begin, I do just want to mention Lionheart, a UK professional wrestler who passed away within the last 24 hours. Nobody quite knows yet what the deal is. It sounds like he committed suicide. I'm not going to pass any more comment than that, other than to say it's awful, it's a horrible situation, and all the love in the world to his friends and family. I'm not going to pretend I've ever met him. I knew him mostly through wrestling magazines, when I used to read wrestling magazines when I was younger, because he'd been going since 2002. He'd always get mentioned here and there. Only ever heard nice things. So, yeah. I mean, that's all I'm going to say. Shout out to Innes Reynolds in the super chat, who just says, "Hi, Simon. Love you." It's nice, isn't it? I love you too, Innes. Let's go and get married. Right, today we are going to talk about OJ Simpson. Controversial topic, as we know. But within the last week or so, I think it happened over the weekend, he joined social media. He joined Twitter. And I genuinely couldn't believe it. Now, this is going to sound a bit weird, and I don't mean it how it sounds, but I'm quite fascinated by the O.J. Simpson's case, and I think a lot of people are. I watched the Netflix, was it O.J. Simpson versus The People, or whatever, The People versus O.J. Simpson with Cuba Gooding Jr. and John Travolta. I've watched the 9-hour documentary on ESPN. I've seen the interview he did where he basically admits to doing it without saying that he was going to do it. I've listened to podcasts. I've read books. I've read the Marsha Clark book, who was the lead prosecutor in that case. I just find it absolutely incredible. So as he joined Twitter, I thought, we'll start there. Now, when you go and look back at the O.J. Simpson case, it soon, you know, transitioned away from being a murder trial into it being shining a spotlight on the race issues that are still happening today. But I mean, you know, in the mid-90s, that were happening in L.A. specifically with all the riots and the unlawful killings. And that's the direction that it spun off into. And it's why many people, when O.J. Simpson got acquitted, they cheered and they were happy because they felt like it was a win for... Well, I don't know what the right word would be. It was definitely... People felt like it was a win for the black community because, again, in LA especially, some awful things have been going on. But it wasn't just specific to the black community, because the white community, you know, I've heard stories about kids and stuff being read the verdict, you know, white kids, and them cheering, because that's the way the trial developed. Now that we're 25 years removed, we can look at it, and I think most people agree that with all the evidence is there and everything that happened in the trial, that O.J. Simpson seemingly, I'll throw in there, to be careful, did get away with murdering his wife and get away with murdering her lover. So the fact you can just now go on Twitter and see him posting videos where his first video, he says, "I got to get even with some people." And straight away, I just facepalm like, this guy has no self-awareness whatsoever. And then his next video, he's talking about not being the father of Khloe Kardashian. And I mean, look, I'm not going to say that it's good. But if you do want a laugh, Just go and read any comment under any tweet OJ Simpson's makes, and you will see the internet in full flow. I don't understand why he hasn't come off. I don't understand why he went on. I can't understand what he thought was going to happen. But anyway, as we know, he lost in a civil trial. I think he was ordered to pay something like $30 million, $36 million to the Goldsteins. excuse me. And he eventually went to jail. I think for 9 to 15 years, whatever it was, when he... Basically, what happened was he was set up. It was entrapment. You know, a bunch of people had his stuff. It's kind of a grey area, but, you know, people said it actually did belong to him. He went to get his stuff, but when he went to get his stuff, it was in Las Vegas, he went in there with a bunch of guns and a bunch of weapons. And you just don't do that. You just don't do that. There's no way in a million years you can get away with it. He got arrested, and when eventually went to trial, the judge, I would assume, knowing everything else that he's done, I think he got sentenced something like 9 to 35 years. And he got out in 2017, which is a couple of years ago. I don't know when he filmed it, but he did also film an interview with... I can't remember who did it now, but you should really go out of your way to watch it. If you just type in OJ Simpson on YouTube, you'll find it. And it's where a interviewer is getting him to talk about if he had hypothetically done these crimes, how would he go about it? And within a matter of minutes, OJ Simpson has gone to talking, you know, ifs and buts and maybes into saying, oh no, then I went round the back gate and then I did this. And talking like he did do these things, I think, because really, he did these things. And again, I'm going to leave it up to you to make that decision. We live in a world where you're certainly allowed to come to your own conclusion. But in my opinion, allegedly, all those words, he definitely did it. Now, so, because the reason I'm so fascinated by it, though, is if you look at his entire career, it's an incredible story. And I mean the word incredibly literally. I don't mean it from a wow point of view. He came from sort of, I don't want to say the slums. That's a bit harsh. But, you know, he came from nothing. He was brought up by a single mother who I think had three other kids. So four children in total. Worked two jobs. And, you know, it was a real strong single mother. And at quite a young age, it was quite clear that OJ Simpson was going to be a pretty phenomenal athlete. Even though he kept getting into trouble as a kid, like he would steal. We're talking about misdemeanors. Like he went to juvenile hall for a weekend, I think, for getting in a fight. But he would do stuff like he stole beef from a butcher and he would roll it downhill into the projects because he knew that no butcher was going to run after a bit of meat into the projects because you don't know what else was going to happen. But when he started to play football, especially in college, if you go and look at his stats, and you don't need to be a big football fan to understand how good they are. I think his college... His yardage or his running stats in college was something like, if you gave OJ Simpson the ball, he would average something like 9.7 yards. And if you don't know, with American football, you have five downs, right? And each of those downs, you have to make 10 yards, which means if you gave OJ Simpson the ball, he was guaranteed to get you, you know, past first down on his first try. He was averaging 9.7 yards. And he broke loads of records when he signed for the NFL too. He was an absolute... you know, monster of a football player, to the point sort of many experts say that if he was still playing today, he would probably still be a monster because that's just the way that he played the game. But throughout all of this, there's all these little stories and all these little sort of tidbits of information that paint the picture of a very different guy behind the scenes. And it's this that I got fascinated in, where you can have someone that's utterly changing a pretty damn popular sport and, you know, like I say, breaking records here, there and everywhere. And yet behind the scenes, you know, there's accusations of having an affair with his first wife. I think his first wife was called Marguerite. Something like, no, that's not right. I can't remember. But he had a first wife. You're bound surprised to hear. And again, this has been corroborated by a lot of people, but, you know, had a thing for white blonde girls. That was his person of choice, which is fine, you know, go out and get whatever you want. So he cheated on his wife a lot, but he would also go on these crazy cocaine benders. He went to someone's house once who was a cocaine dealer, and he was there for 4 days, and this was leading up to a match on the Sunday as well, where he was so out of his head, he didn't fly to the game until that Sunday morning. I don't know if he played or not. It's just madness. Like it's just, and there's all these stories. Well, I can't remember. We'll call stories, but all these little stories of people saying that they were intimidated by OJ Simpson. Like at one point, he was dating or seeing the woman on the Whitesnake cover. You remember the woman that was over the car? If you know Whitesnake, you know who I'm talking about. He was seeing her, and she was also dating someone else. And when their paths crossed, this guy said that the way OJ said, if you don't stop seeing this woman, I'm going to kill you, he genuinely believed that OJ Simpson would kill him. And another football player said that as well, that if you ever sacked, not sacked, but if you ever took down OJ, the way that he looked at you, you think this man is gonna kill me. Again, it's all out on the internet. You can all go and read it because it's, you know, it's fascinating. And then you get into all, you know, after he retired from football and started getting into acting, yeah, he did the Naked Gun films. That's probably where I was first exposed to him as a kid. But even throughout all that, behind the scenes, there are, you know, police incidences with them going to him and Nicole Brown's house to, you know, on domestic violence charges. And, you know, at one point, I think Nicole Simpson had a hand slap on her neck or something from where he'd hit her so hard and things like this. Shout out to Timothy Jones in the super chat as well, who said it's all a work. You couldn't have said that 25 years ago. I'm pretty sure that it's not. And Justin Cass also in the super chat said the juice is loose, right? That's a phrase that took on a whole new meaning after that. But yeah, so this all builds up to the 1994 trial after he does get accused of murder. And it's just such a, it's not just the sheer shock of the fact that the trial, the trial acquitted him, but it's the way that the trial was covered. Because I completely buy into this idea that reality TV was born out of the O.J. Simpson trial. Like when he was dashing away doing the police runaway chase in his white Ford Bronco, every single news channel on the planet cut to that car chase. No matter what they were covering, they all cut to the car chase, and it did crazy figures. And the reason it did so well is because no one could believe that this guy who was at the top of his game, everybody loved him, he had those Hertz commercials, he did like 10 years, so everybody knew him as the Hertz commercial guy, came across really well in interviews and stuff, seemed like a lovable dude. Nobody could believe what they're hearing. Like the only person I could compare it to today, I mean, over here in England, it would be like Harry Kane, the football player, or I guess a LeBron James in America, or, oh, I don't know, there's loads of guys. But if you heard, like, if all of a sudden Harry Kane was driving down the M25, which is a big road over here in England, and there was rumours that he'd killed his wife and her lover, I guess you'd believe it more just because we've had, you know, precedents for this. But in 1994, it's utterly mind-blowing. And what producers and directors and TV companies saw is they had such good engagement and they had such good viewing figures. I mean, on the day of the trial, the verdict for the trial, Domino's Pizza ran out of pizza because everybody was sat at home waiting and watching to see what was going to happen. Again, you can go read all of this. I don't know why I'm so fascinated about it, but I just am. You should watch the ESPN documentary especially. There's a three-part thing. It's long, but again, you can watch it in parts. You'll love it. Excuse me. But that's where reality TV was born, in my opinion. Again, this is not my theory. I read stuff on this, but I completely agree with it. But that's where reality TV was born because, again, producers and directors said, well, how do we tap into this engagement that we've got? Because the reason people loved it so much is that it wasn't fake. It wasn't a story. This was a real fall from grace. And for some reason, we as human beings are fascinated by that. So, and that's where, you know, that's where it all began. That's when people started going, okay, we can get real people and we can tell real people's stories, but we can, wrong word, but I'll use it, we can manipulate that through the power of a camera and through the power of production, and we can try and tell these stories, but the audience will think it's real. And it all comes down to everything that happened here with O.J. Simpson. And he's a fascinating character. Like, you should absolutely go and watch the interview where he released a book that was called If I Did It. And he was very, very wary of making sure that no passage actually sound like he did do it. But you're reading it like, well, why would you release this book? If somebody had accused me of that and I was 100% innocent, I'm not coming out releasing a book calling If I Did It. That would be, you know, that would be nuts. And you can, I don't know if it's on the internet or not. I have seen it. I saw it a long time ago. But he had a pay-per-view. He had a one-off pay-per-view in the mid-2000s, I think. And it was called Juiced. And it was his version of the TV show Punked. No word of a lie. And what one of the things he would get to do, he would sell a white Ford Bronco, you know, that the big, we all know how that ties into the case. And when these people came to buy it, he would jump out like, oh, it's me, OJ, Juiced. And they weren't like, you know, when you see, I've just said the word, Ashton Kutcher's show, Prank, whatever the hell it was called. When he used to do his, there'd be a big like, oh, I can't believe you got me. These people would just stare at O.J. Simpson like, yeah, I don't want to be here, man. I don't want to pay. This was a pay-per-view. I think it cost $5. It's on DVD as well. You can look it up. Again, there's probably some skits on YouTube. And he did a rap in it as well, where he said he wasn't Bart Simpson, which was weird. But it is just a fascinating story. So yeah, when I saw that he had popped up on Twitter, I couldn't follow him. I didn't have it in me, but I did have a few looks, and it's an amazing story. And again, amazing in the literal sense. I'm not saying that's got a positive connotation on it. And it's just it's just crazy to think that a man who has been through all of that and has done what he has seemingly done is now on social media, just putting out these videos, tearing people down and saying, I didn't do that. And this people said this. Oh, man, it's... go check it out. I can't remember what his Twitter handle is, but you should absolutely go and check it out. And if you are fascinating in, you know, crime scenes or criminality or even, honestly, even reality TV or ethnicity or minorities or race, it's got... There's something in it. There is something in it. And, you know, everything with if the glove don't fit, you must acquit. That was the prosecution dropping the ball massively. There was no reason to get O.J. Simpson to try on that glove, but they did. Again, I'm not going to get into the specifics. But it just kind of goes to show how open social media is. Like, anybody can go on social media. And I think, and this is just my opinion now, but I think the reason O.J. Simpson has gone on there, again, because he has no self-awareness whatsoever. And he probably believes everything that he says, I'd imagine. And he's allowed to do that. But you can't enforce too many laws, because then you're getting into some kind of, you know, you're entering a state that isn't what we're used to with democracy and capitalism and openness and things like that. But when you actually take a step back and think what Twitter and social media is, it is incredible that you can have a platform. I think he's got something like 700,000 followers now. He's only following like 10 people, one of which is his lawyer, by the way, which really cracked me up. I tweeted that as well, at Simon316. You can go check me out as well. Don't have as many followers as O.J. Simpson, but why would I? He's O.J. Simpson. But yeah, you can just go on social media, and there's no rules, there's no laws, nor should there be. I'm not saying there should be. But again, just from a world point of view, I'm just staring at it going like, this is amazing. This is amazing. Like, there he is. Just tweeting and talking from his obviously clear, it looks like he's still living the life of luxury. I'm sure he made loads of money, although a lot of it went to the Goldsteins family and the Browns, I presume. But yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. The world never, you would have thought by now in 2019, the world would have stopped surprising me. But it doesn't. It really, 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 really doesn't. And, you know, there are the internet, you know, the birth of the internet has kept this story alive, be it with videos or audio clips. And some of the most crazy things you can hear are the audio clips of the police calls that Nicole Brown made. And there's no joking or laughing about those. They are harrowing. They are disturbing. It's one of those things that after you've listened to it, you're like, why did I listen to it? Admittedly, I heard them through the documentary, which I guess, you know, removes them a little bit. But it's... Yeah, it's just tough. It's tough to hear all of that and then see what happens. I mean, in one of them, Nicole Simpson is shouting, he's going to kill me, he's going to kill me. And you're like, oh, my word. But yeah, I mean, what else could I have talked about this week to kick off the podcast? It's somebody that I have read about a lot and watched about a lot. And there I was, I think on a Sunday morning or Saturday, whenever the hell it was, and somebody had retweeted this video of OJ saying he was going to get even with loads of people. And I was like, oh my gosh, he's going to... What does that mean? Surely he's already got even with everybody. Surely he's done it. But that's O.J. Simpson. And you really can't appreciate the fall until you realize how high he was. Like, he wrote an autobiography when he was 22. Now, that's probably a bit... I mean, that probably kind of sums him up, to be honest, to write an autobiography at 22. And the fact that he thought he could have a coke-filled weekend and still play in an NFL game. Somebody in the comments a minute ago called him... a low-key narcissist, and he probably is. I've done a lot of reading about narcissism based on, you know, when you sort of hear about these characters and you want to try and make sense of it. And yeah, I mean, people say that Donald Trump is a narcissist, and again, there are traits there. People that kind of see the world only from their point of view and only from their vantage point and won't budge at all. And that would make perfect sense. If you think you are the center of everything and you think you are the greatest thing on the planet, then of course you can turn up on a Sunday and just play an NFL game after doing a load of coke all weekend. Of course you can. Of course you can write a book when you're 22 years old. You're O.J. Simpson or whoever the person may not to be. You can just, you know, you can just insert yourself into these equations, and that's fine. But yeah, he's on Twitter now. You can go follow him. You're allowed your opinion either way. I just, I just find it incredible. I find it incredible that we that this is the thing that can even happen. Social media has done a lot of good for the world. Like, especially we're talking about mental health last week or 2 weeks ago or whenever it was. And I think social media is great for that, especially Twitter. Because some people do reach out and they do get help, and people are always tweeting out phone lines you can call or support systems. But again, it's that juxtaposition, I hate that word, but it is the juxtaposition of that and then OJ Simpson tweeting out videos where he's going to get even with everyone and telling us that he's not the dad of Khloe Kardashian. I didn't even know that was a rumor. That was a proper Barbara Streisand effect, which I should probably explain, which I use a lot and people say, I don't know what that means. But yeah, the Barbara Streisand effect is based, I think it's a whole Wikipedia, in fact there is, let's look it up. I think there is a whole page, where's my mouse, there it is, a whole page dedicated to what the Barbara Streisand effect is. And if there is, they're going to be able to do it far better than I can. But it's my favorite thing, especially when you, it's a good life lesson. There is the Streisand effect. Here you go. This is on Wikipedia. You can read it now if I say anything you don't understand. The Streisand effect is a phenomenon whereby an attempt to hide, remove, or censor a piece of information has the unintended consequence of publicizing the information more widely, usually facilitated by the internet. So, this is the story. It is named after American entertainer Barbara Streisand, whose 2003 attempt to suppress photographs of her resident in Malibu inadvertently drew further public attention to it. Similar attempts have been made, for example, in cease and desist letters to suppress files, websites, and even numbers. Instead of being suppressed, the information receives extensive publicity and media extensions such as videos and spoof songs, often being widely mirrored on the internet or distributed on file sharing services. So yeah, basically, what happened was, Barbara Streisand wasn't happy that the location of her house had been revealed in this tiny magazine that nobody read. She sent something to them saying, stop doing this. All the big newspapers caught up on it and said, Barbara Streisand is trying to stop you knowing where her house is, and here's her house. And it blew up. And that's now how I approach social media. Like, sometimes you can think in your life something is blowing up, but you always remember you're trapped in that Twitter bubble world. It's a little, and it feels like everyone's talking, even if 20 people are talking about the same thing, it feels like 1,000 people are talking about it. And you get this urge, or maybe I need to react to these comments, or maybe I need to, you know, put my defense up there. But then you got to take, that's when you got to put in the Streisand effect into your brain. Process the Streisand effect and think to yourself, wait a minute, how many people are actually talking about this? Say you're followed by 10,000 people. If 10 people are having a conversation, you don't need to, just shut up. Because, you know, it's such a minuscule amount of people. And even though they're firing tweets at you constantly, if you then address it, you're sending it out to 10,000 people when only 10 people were talking about it. And people do that all the time. Things happen to them in their lives and they react in the wrong way, which then blows them up and everyone's talking about them. And that's what Barbara Streisand did. I can't remember how we got here now to the Streisand effect, but it's still good. It's still interesting. I think Twitter is the worst for that. So many times I find out about controversies just because the person in question starts talking about it. And I'm like, dude, if you hadn't have started talking about it, I wouldn't know this was a thing. And now I'm a thing, now I'm invested, now I want to see where it's going to go. Shout out to Undead FB Jew in the Facebook, and the Facebook comments in the Super Chat, who says, humans are interested in things that are taboo. You're 100% right, man. And that's probably why OJ Simpson has always been something that I've wanted to read up about and learn. Because I guess I can't understand how you can have so much, and you can sort of live out all your dreams. And I can understand it, I should say, to a certain point. Like, I understand, well, we use him as an example as much as I'd hate to. Lionheart, the wrestler who we talked about at the start of the podcast, it does seem like he committed suicide. And, on the surface, it looked like he was doing great, but clearly there was underlying issues there. I can completely understand, empathize, and sympathize with that. Money, fame, success, whatever you want to call it, does not equate to being mentally happy. But it's a whole other step to have all of those things and be a crazy murderer person. That's just in you from a young age, I'd imagine. Like, I don't think that's something... that's either there or it's not there. And again, that's something we can argue about as well. I don't want to get into this too much, but talking about tragedies in the world, like wrestling, for example, when the Chris Benoit tragedies happened, the argument has always been, was it through from having his head and brain thrashed around for 20 years, or was it something that was in his soul, I guess, or in his body already? We don't know. We're never going to know the answer. Everyone's going to have a different opinion. But that's the kind of step that I'll just never be able to understand because I don't have that in me. I know I don't. I can't even be... I wanted to train MMA at once, but I don't have that killer instinct. I don't have it. And that's what fighters do. Same with boxing. Fighters are like, in this fight, you got to try and kill him, but everyone else around you will make sure that you don't. It's like that Jerry Seinfeld joke. Jerry Seinfeld says, human beings, when it comes to painkillers, want the strongest possible pain. Find out what can kill me and then just back it off a little bit. And that's what a fighter has to do, and I don't have that in me. Shout out to Jinjin45 in the super chat. Love you, Simon. Thanks for being an inspiration. Well, that's very humbling and very kind, Jinjin. If I've helped at all, you're more than welcome. And I'll just keep doing whatever it is that I'm doing. I'll 100% try and keep doing it. That's very kind. I swear that YouTube said I had another super chat, but now it's just vanished. So maybe it'll come up in a minute. I hope not. Let me know if you did send something. Again, you can ask any question you want in the super chat. Just throw it in there and we can talk about it. You can talk about OJ, you can talk about Benoit now that it's been brought up. You can talk about mental health, you can talk about the Streisand effect, you can talk about anything you damn well please. But yeah, there is I'll never get it. Again, OJ Simpson before he got arrested for the murder, he did have all these, you know, questionable things going on behind the scenes, but he was still on TV, he was still covering football, he was still doing movies. I mean, let's just check this, when did Naked Gun 33 and a third come out? I think it's like 94, right? I like Naked Gun 33 and a third, by the way. Everyone says that's crap. I like it. So Naked Gun 33 and the third came out in 94. So this is literally months before the trial started, or all the crimes happened. So, which means when he was filming all those movies, he was in constant contact with the police because Nicole Brown, was, you know, giving them... I think in 1 year, it was like 9 call-outs. Maybe it was 2 years. I can't remember. But either 1 or 2 years, there was 9 call-outs to police about domestic abuse charges, which is a lot. And I think at one point, OJ Simpson even said something like, you know, I think his excuse for one of them is they were having a mutual wrestling contest and it got out of hand. If you're into this kind of stuff and you're into the idea of celebrity and you're into the idea of 24-hour news and reality TV and everything that has become, which I understand is a very niche subject to be interested in, you owe it to yourself to go out and read things like this and watch it, because you'll be fascinated. You really, really will. It will show you how very much this, and that's why I still think about it today, how it shaped the society we're living in. And I can only imagine what this would have been like if Twitter had been around. It would have been divisive, it would have been controversial, and it would have been difficult. It's still difficult now, because 2 people died, and yet the focus is on the other side. And maybe it's always going to be that way. It's much like, you know, Ted Bundy has been in the media a lot recently with movies and the Netflix documentary, and I think a book came out. And none of them have ever really focused on the victims. The victims is just the number. He killed something like 47 people. It was a lot. I don't know the specifics. And they do give out the names and stuff, but of course the focus is always on the killer, because that's the one that doesn't make any sense. And that's why, again, that's where the fascination comes in, because most of us are going to be like, well, I can't gel with that person at all. So hopefully somebody can present a documentary that at least makes some sense of it. And if not, well, I can just take the information and do whatever I want. Shout out to Jason J, who was signed up to the YouTube membership program. Just to explain that, you'll see a join button below the video. You can smash that join button. You can become a member of the channel. It basically ties into my Patreon. If you're a $5 patron, you can join my weekly Q&As. They go up, like I say, every 7 days. And because it's $5 to join the YouTube membership program as well, I thought I'd offer that, and then I'll make sure I post the link in the community feed once a week, and you can come join in my Q&As. So thank you very much. Thank you very much to Jason J. So there we go. It's every time my cough is gone, and every time I do this podcast, the wrestling podcast, it just comes back. I'm guessing it's because I'm just talking too much, but hell of it isn't annoying. And I never get ill either. Loads of people say that I never get ill, and you're like, well, you must get ill eventually, but I genuinely don't. I haven't been ill like this since like December 2017. My word, 2018? No, 17. I was so ill in December 2017. I'll do this super chat and then I'll explain. Shout out to Neil T. Sai, when it comes to OJ fame, etc., you're arguably now a known personality. Has even a smaller level of fame changed how you live your life day to day? Well, Neil, I don't really see myself that way. So I guess that is the difference. If we're talking about OJ, I think OJ definitely saw himself that way. I will say that one of my favorite things in the world is when people come up to me in the street randomly and ask for a picture or say nice words. I don't know why that means so much to me, but it does. It makes me feel like I'm doing a good job, I guess, and I enjoy it. It fills up my self-worth tank, and long may that continue. It hasn't changed the way I live my day-to-day. But then again, I try and be as humble as possible. I think humility is really important to make sure that these things continue. I never want to get an ego or get ahead of myself, because pride comes before a fall, right? I truly believe that. So no, it hasn't. You know, if things continued on, would it? I'd hope not. I'd hope I just, because I'm hoping that any success or any, you know, notoriety that I have received is hopefully because, again, I really try and pitch myself as me. I think, because I know what I like. I like it when people are honest and genuine. They're the people I click with the most. So I always felt like, well, if you're not doing that, it's not going to work. And I found that out the hard way, because I used to have a character, I'm sure some people will know, called the Miller Report. Simon the Miller Report Miller. And he was a character that I made up when I was doing video games coverage, because I was just bored. I was just bored of the weekly video game coverage YouTube channels were doing. There was nothing wrong with it. It just wasn't my cup of tea. So I thought, well, wouldn't it be funny if we started doing video game interviews, but the person doing the interviewing was a moron? And I was like, I'll do that. I can do that. I can be a moron. So I started... Why the hell? I've totally lost my train of thought. You can tell I'm tired. Why the hell am I talking about the Miller Report? I have absolutely no idea. I'll finish the story. If someone could remind me in the comments what the hell I was on about. My brain just shut down. You can tell I'm tired. I am tired. I haven't slept all week. But yeah, so I just started doing that. And eventually, it was just... And I can't finish this story because I have no idea what I'm talking about. Brains are weird. Like, I knew what I was talking about, and for some reason it just fluttered away. Like, what distracted me in my cerebral cortex, or whatever it's called, to all of a sudden just make me go, why are we talking about the Miller Report, Simon? I know we were talking about notoriety and stuff like that, but how we got there, I don't know. But hey, that is what I used to do. You can look it up. You already know. Shout out to Lanana DeBose in the super chat. Have tea with ginger and honey before you start your podcast. That's what singers do. I would do that, Lanana, and I appreciate you saying it. The problem is honey's got a load of sugar in it, and I got crazy diet that I stick to. That's the truth. I'm that guy. Also, I thought we were meant to... I hadn't heard from you, Lana, so I thought you were busy. I thought we were going to do a podcast today. So please drop me a Patreon message and we can get that booked in for next week. I would like to talk to you again. It was a lot of fun last time. No problem or anything like that. It's all good. I had it down for today. And I meant to message you and then I didn't because life got away from me today. Because I am an idiot. But yeah, the notoriety thing. I mean, yeah, long may it continue. I hope anyway, because again, it makes me feel like I'm on the right track. And we'll see. You know, we'll see where it. Oh, that's what I was talking about. I was talking about being authentic and genuine. That's right. Yeah. So I used to do the Miller Report stuff, and then when I left Video Gamer, which is where I was, and I came out into the big scary world by myself, which I'm still doing now. I thought I had to have a character to try and succeed at that time. So my Patreon, as you will have seen, was all about. The character and not me. And then eventually when I changed that is actually when I started finding more success. And that was a real eye-opener for me. You can still have fun and do dumb stuff like that. But I think 90% of the content you're putting out there, people just like to see, well, hopefully like to see you. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. It's, again, I just don't think of myself like that. I enjoy what I do. I love what I do. I understand that it's a fleeting thing. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. But that's the best way to live, right? In this podcast, amazing. We started off talking about O.J. Simpson, and now somehow we got onto the Miller Report character. That is quite the transition. Quite the transition, if I do say so. If I do say so myself. I mean, some people have mentioned that Miller Report character because I re-uploaded the Paul Heyman video that I did back at WrestleMania 32 because I had done a vlog and it just got eaten alive by Premiere. So I was like, ugh. Which is another reason, again, just to chat you out to let you know where the Patreon money goes. Any money I get on Patreon this week is going back into my equipment, which is slowly dying. You know, any money I make from that, I always put back into my projects, just to let you know, some people ask. And I re-uploaded that, and it's the Miller Report character. I had so many people going, what is that? Because, of course, they wouldn't know who it was. But it is fun. How I'd be able to get away with it now, I don't know, because I think not a lot of people know what that is. But we'll still do more of that stuff. I like being a moron on YouTube, and I like the fact the YouTube channel right now is doing pretty well, touch wood, long may it continue. And it's just, it doesn't follow the YouTube rules. Everyone always told me, and everyone says, even if you read an article, that YouTube, you should find a niche and you should stick to it, which you absolutely should. And I'm sure, you know, if I could only do the YouTube channel, I'd have to have some thoughts about the content that I put up there. I hope that doesn't happen, but you see what I'm saying. But the fact that everyone always calls it a bag of rebels, my YouTube channel, and I like it. That's what about this? My YouTube channel to me is just where I take my crazy brain, and as we've proven, I do have a crazy brain, so I can't even remember what I was talking about, and we just throw it into the world. And then we see what happens. So, you know, Darth videos will go up. Some people don't like them. It's quite podcast heavy at the moment, but that's cool. I just like reacting to things. Like, you know, if an idea pops in my brain. That's the cool thing about YouTube and social media, which kind of ties into what we're talking about. You can have a cool idea, and as long as you have, like, the technology and the equipment to make a video or whatever, you can just throw it up on YouTube within a few hours, and people will react to it, and people will like it, and people will tell you it's crap, and people will do a thousand things. Like, right now, I'm sat in my house in a little village just outside of London, and a bunch of people are watching me from around the world. I saw somebody in the comments earlier saying they're from Trinidad. How is that a thing? How the hell is someone from Trinidad watching on my computer? And then later on, what will happen is I'll try and check my mail on my phone. It won't work, and I throw my phone down, like, stupid phone. What, the phone that sent the signal into space and retrieved magic letters? Yeah. what a stupid world we live in. Rubbish. I watched a video last night about how the world may be a simulation. I know there's loads of videos out there, and when you watch them, it's like crazy conspiracies talking. But it is incredible. And that how that maybe we're all living in a simulation based on human beings thousands of years in the future that have the technology to do it. And their example was, look at Pong that came out, what, 40 years ago compared to, I don't know, Red Dead Redemption 2, right? The changes and the steps forward are huge. So maybe now this is all a simulation. And again, human beings from thousands of the years in the future are watching to see how they put us in a 2019 environment to learn more about their ancestors and to learn more about their species. Think of that. Isn't that amazing? And then, you know, within worlds, you could have other people creating other simulations. I mean, it's too much when you start thinking about it like that. But it could be true. We don't know. No one knows. Maybe this is a simulation. Maybe I've been programmed to do this podcast, and maybe I've been programmed to make these quotes so it sounds more conspiracy theorist, but really it's happening. You don't know. Timothy Jones in the super chat. Me and my girlfriend were having a serious discussion. I can't remember what about, but she eventually asked why. So I responded, why? Slapped my head a few times. Here's why. I slept on the couch that night. Brilliant. Wonderful. Loads of people tell me when they hear the word why, they say, here's why. And I think one of the reasons is if you actually listen, I didn't do this intentionally, I think it's just a happy accident. If you listen to how people say why, they do it in that. Why? If they're talking to themselves. Like if someone says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do to that guy when I beat him, whatever. And I think that's what it is. And I think I've managed to spark something in your brain. So I'm all right with that. Thank you very much. I never thought that why and slapping my head would be a thing. But now that it is, I'm very happy. It makes me very pleased. I love it. And again, long may it continue, like anything else. Inez Reynolds, are you doing more Week in Gaming podcasts? Love this, but also miss that. Understand you're a busy man. Much love. Yes, we were meant to do two this week. But the one on Monday, the guy changed his mind and he wanted to do the wrestling podcast, which is fine. It's again, patrons can come on the podcast. It's your choice. And then I was meant to do one with Sam yesterday, but my life just hit a brick wall. I was sick and things were breaking. We're going to do one next week. It's going to be a bit... not as topical as I wanted because it will be focused on the E3. But no, we only took a break because Sam was moving house and he was going to E3 and I was ill and I had a personal problem that, again, patrons will know about. Week in Gaming podcast comes back next week. That's the three podcasts I want. I want the wrestling podcast, I want the gaming podcast, and I want wrestling. Whatever I didn't say, those are the three, though. Why? Wrestling. Video games. So yes, they'll all come back. I was going to run them Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but Friday's just a lesser day on YouTube. It just is, because people are out and about doing stuff. So Monday will be Week in Gaming, Wednesday will be the wrestling, Thursday will be Why with Simon Miller, and again, you can find them all on iTunes. Laniana says, my bad, wrote you back via Patreon. Don't worry about it. It's all good. I just assumed you were busy. You've always been very nice and very kind to me. You're a lovely person all around. You don't have to worry about it. We'll do one next week. I promise. We'll book it in. I look forward to talking to you. I really, really do. I totally lost my train of thought now because I went on a crazy journey this time. I'm trying to think if I've seen a movie or anything. It was fun when we talked about movies before. I did see they're releasing a new cut of Avengers. They're going to release Endgame back into cinemas, but with some deleted scenes. I think just to try and get them over the hump to beat Avatar, which is still the number one box office draw ever. I'm like, that doesn't count. You can't release re-edits into the thing just to... I mean, you can, and it will, you know, be in the record books. But I thought that was weird. I always look up film stuff, and I was like, well, "This is a bizarre thing to do." But hey, that's apparently what we're going to do. Still a great movie, that Avengers film. Like, it was awesome. And I think it was at Comic-Con or something. The guy that runs it, I can't remember his name. He said that he wants to try and recruit Keanu Reeves into the Marvel Universe. That's got to happen. We've got to get Keanu Reeves into the MCU. I don't know why Keanu Reeves is such a good person, but he just is. There's just something inherently likable about him, and I don't know. I don't even watch his films. I've never seen a John Wick. I don't think I've seen a film that he's done in the last 5-10 years. I didn't like The Matrix. Like the first movie, the second movie, The Matrix Reloaded, is one of the only films I've ever walked out on. It was awful, so I just left. I can't, and the cinema was really hot. The other one was Charlie's Angels 2, which kind of sums it up. And then I didn't see the third one because, like, man, this doesn't make any sense. So, but I still like him and I still love him. And he's had a real hard time, Keanu Reeves, talking about the idea of celebrity. Like, he had a miscarriage with his girlfriend or wife, and then his wife or girlfriend, whatever she was, passed away in a car accident. His sister went through a big ordeal. He had all that thing with being sad Keanu when he was on a bench. But you hear him in any kind of conversation and you're like, what a lovely guy. And he was at E3 talking about the gaming podcast. He's going to be in Cyberpunk 2077, the CD Projekt Red game, which everyone is really excited about, and it hasn't really taken me by storm at the moment. It's much like Kojima's Death Stranding. I need more than just vague trailers and, oh, it's going to be this. I need something to sink my teeth into. But we'll see. It's good. I am excited about the fact that he's bringing back Bill and Ted. I like Bill and Ted. That reminds me of my childhood. But yeah, I don't know what it is about Keanu Reeves. That is the opposite end of the spectrum. OJ Simpson, who terrifies and fascinates me. And Keanu Reeves, who's just such a dude. And Keanu Reeves is like 51. I'm getting Keanu Reeves up. I bet I have to take... excuse me. Yeah, of course you just have to type Keanu. And it will come up. 54 Keanu Reeves. Fair play. That's ridiculous. I'm going to get a list of his films up too. And I honestly, because I bet you, there we go. Filmography. Just the last few. Not going to do all. He's done loads. Bill and Ted Face the Music comes out next year. Toy Story 4. I'll go see Toy Story 4. But then, Always Be My Maybe, John Wick Chapter 3, Replicas, Destination Wedding, Siberia, SPF 18, A Happening of Monumental Proportions, John Wick Chapter 2, To the Bone, The Whole Truth, The Bad Batch, The Neon Demon, Keanu, which I presume is something to do with him, Exposed, Knock Knock, John Wick, 47 Ronin, Man of Tai Chi, Generation Arm, Henry's Crime. I'm going to keep going. There you go, The Matrix Revolutions, which is 2003. I saw Constantine as well. Constantine was 2005. So I haven't really watched a Keanu Reeves movie since 2005, and yet I still think he's brilliant. That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But he's great, and he's always going to be great, and he's got an amazing beard. How is he 54 years old? 54. I look worse than that now. He has wonderful, lovely hair. Speed was a good movie. Do you know he didn't do Speed 2 because he thought it was ridiculous? That's why he's great. He's a real human. He doesn't care about money. You can go read about all this. He doesn't care. He did a different deal for his Matrix contract, or whatever you want to call it, because he thought for the project to do well, more money needed to go into special effects. So he took less so they could put more of his budget for the whole film. Good dude. Someone asked me in the comments, do I like horror movies? Because will you be watching the new Child's Play? I may as well use that for a cheap plug. 5 p.m. over on What Culture, the non-wrestling channel, the main channel, I reviewed it. I reviewed Child's Play. I saw it on Monday. I can't say anything about it because, again, it's embargoed for another couple of hours. That's all I can say. But as somebody asked me about it and it just happened to tie in, there you go. Really, though, no, I don't like horror movies because I'm a massive scaredy cat and anything scares the crap out of me. As I've said 1,000 times, I once jumped at Call of Duty 2. Now, it was because a soldier popped out of nowhere in a tiny house. It wasn't anything in it that scared me. I just wasn't ready for it, so I got a reaction. But, yeah, I'm not... If you can't scare me and you've made a scary thing, you've probably done it wrong. Like, there's a video out there, I'm never going to link to it, but you can find it, of me playing PT. The worst hour of my life. Genuinely one of the worst hours of my life. I mean, that game is something else anyway, because it probably is one of the greatest horror experiences ever when it comes to atmosphere. But still, did not enjoy it at all. Horrific, horrific, horrific game. I mean, that's the tech demo. It's not even the final thing. I think that's Kojima's best work. I know Metal Gear Solid's amazing, but what he set out to do with that and what he achieved and the, reaction that it got. And also the way that he presented it, that it was a secret teaser for Silent Hill, which obviously never got off the ground. Amazing. Amazing. Undead FB Jew says, please do a reaction to the new Ice Nine Kills vid when it comes out. Love the content you do. Always look forward to your vids. Dude, absolutely. Tweet me at Simon316 when that's out, and I will put it on the list. I love Ice Nine Kills. One of the best bands I found over the last 6 months. That last album they did was awesome. So yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, my friend. Consider that done. Tweet me when it's out and live. Give me the link. I won't watch it until, obviously, I'm doing it on camera. And we're in. David says, the PT video is one of the best I've ever seen. That's very kind. You have no idea. It was so long ago now as well. Kojima retweeted that video. I mean, that's just nuts. He watched it and he enjoyed it so much, he retweeted it. I'm not surprised. It's an advert for that game. Because if that game was meant to be a scary experience, you watched me just breaking as a human being. Halfway through that video, I walk out because I can't handle what's going on. That wasn't put on for the camera. That was real. I was like, why the fuck am I playing this? Swear word for the podcast. Like, why am I playing this? Why am I playing this? For a video on YouTube, I don't need to be doing this. So I grumpily left and sat back in my chair. Then when I calmed down, I got convinced to go back in, and then something else happens 10 minutes on. I'm like, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Awful video game, PT. I mean, brilliant, but awful. So yeah, that ties into my scary game stuff. I'm worse with scary games than I am scary movies, because it's the whole point that you've got a pad and you're in control. But yeah, I can't talk about Child's Play. However, my friend, 5 p.m., like I say, over on the What Culture channel, you can hear my thoughts. I did a review. It's probably not going to be like the reviews you expect, because I don't really review movies a lot, so I do it in my own way. Probably annoy as many people as it doesn't. But I still give you a good idea of the movie. And yeah, it does. It comes out tomorrow. I know a lot of people are excited about it, because it does have a following, and it's had a following for years. Like, I think that's what, as I found out, as I did some reading. I'd watched those movies in the past, but until about a few months ago now, when it just popped up on social media or whatever, I didn't realize that Don Mancini, who created Child's Play or Chucky or whatever, wasn't involved. This is like someone obviously owns the rights and they're doing it by themselves. And I think that creates some controversy too, because people are like, well, if he's not involved, am I going to like it? I'm not going to say anything else. I'm just setting you up into my world. But you can find out. 5 p.m. Loads of people will have it. You can read it. Timothy Jones in the Super Chat. I heard you say something about doing podcasts with Patreon subscribers. How does that work? Well, my friend, again, thank you for that. Cheap plug for me. Patreon.com/SimonMiller316. There's a bunch of tiers. Within those tiers, again, you can join the different price tiers. You can join my Q&A sessions. You can get a postcard. You can get a personalized message. You can get a t-shirt. And one of them is you can get on the podcast. Now, full transparency, I did have to raise the price for that recently, just because I had so many people coming through the door. My entire life would have just been doing Patreon podcasts, which was amazing, and you have no idea how much I scrutinized within myself about putting it up. But I was like, I'm not going to get anything else done, and I don't want to let anybody down. At one point, I was doing like 5 a week, which is too much. It just is. So I do apologize for that, but it's the only way I could think to balance it out. That's just me being as transparent and honest as possible, because that's what I've always tried to do. But hopefully it's still fair to a point. I try to be fair. I try and make it feel like you're in a shop, you're in Sainsbury's or Tesco or Walmart or whatever. And if you put some money down, you feel like you're getting something back. So yes, just again, patreon.com/Simon316. The other thing I will always say is I know people don't want to have big commitments, but even if you could just chuck a dollar in there, you have no idea how much a dollar helps, because if loads of people throw a dollar in, it's awesome. And I really would like to, again, sort of focus more on these podcasts, but the only way to do that, unfortunately, was finances. But don't worry about it. They're still going to come regardless. I'm just, again, thank you, Timothy, for bringing that up. It gets me able to talk about it. Someone says, how is it shocking that OJ is on Twitter? Because he's a murderer. And while he may have been acquitted, again, I don't think you were here for the start of the podcast, which is fine. You don't have to. But I find it fascinating from my own Simon Miller point of view that someone, like I say, that is 99% allegedly, seemingly, throw all the words in there, killed 2 people, is now able to just join social media. And that's cool. And it is cool. He's allowed. He's allowed to do whatever he wants. But it doesn't mean I can't be like, oh my days. How? How did this happen? Right, let's round it up. OJ Simpson, man. Honestly, I read and I watch so much stuff about it. A podcast I enjoy listening to, Crime and Sports, actually released an episode the other day before I did this. And I was almost mortified to find out. It was a great show. I enjoyed it. They're really funny guys. But I was mortified in a way to find out. I kind of knew everything they were talking about. I was like, maybe I've read and watched too much. But hey, there you go. There you go. He's on Twitter. He's a fascinating case study. It's a fascinating part of history that will never be able to get away from. Whether that's good or bad is up to you. You're allowed your own opinion. I've just given you mine in Why with Simon Miller. Again, do the opposite of what you're doing now. So if you're not on my YouTube channel and you're listening to this via the audio, just head over to Simon Miller, search for it on YouTube, give me a subscribe. You'll see me in my wrestling gear with a big Simon Miller sign behind me. And if you're watching this on YouTube, head over to Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Player FM, whatever, Oh, my Google alarm's going off. Hey, Google. Not this again. Turn off the alarm. Ignored me. Yeah, well, we're wrapping up anyway. If you just go over there to give me a 5-star review, again, you can say whatever you want. You can say bullheaded idiot. You can say Simon Miller told me to give you a 5-star review. You can say Simon Miller's a crap wrestler. You can say I hate Simon Miller. As long as you give it 5 stars, it just means it's more prominent within the iTunes or whatever search engine, and that helps loads. Thank you for everyone that always joins me. Again, we'll be back next week with a Pro Wrestling Podcast on Tuesday, and then we'll be back here in a week's time for more of this. Thank you to everyone in the chat. Thank you to everyone in the super chat. Thank you to all my patrons. Thank you to everyone that subscribes to me on YouTube. Thanks to my Twitter followers, my Instagram followers, everybody. And thanks for indulging my weird brain. Where do I push stop? There I go. I'll talk to you again soon.